am I supposed to die? We've gone through this over the last 2 weeks. We've come to the conclusion that there is no specific age. We realize that. There's no specific age. And the whole series has not been to bring fear on anybody. And I don't want you to see it as it was morbid and depressing. Because when we speak about death, it sounds morbid and depressing. But I don't want you to see it as something that is morbid or depressing. Rather, I want you to see it as educational and informative. Because informed people are contented people. If I'm not informed, I'm always asking the questions. If I'm not informed, there's a lot of thinking that is totally unnecessary. And that goes with even what happened last night. And people are not informed, we have conspiracy theories. So informed people are contented people. And we know that death is no respecter of person. You understand that. Death is not a respecter of person, race, color, or creed. We also have come to the conclusion that the age to which people live varies from continents. On the Asian continent, it seems they live a few years longer. In our country, we seem to live a little less longer than on the Asian continent. So it also depends on the continents. But one thing is for sure. The conclusion we came to with the services we've had and the scriptures, death is unpredictable. So we can ask, when are you going to die? What do you know? When are you going to die? Only God knows. And then you could go through the questions, why was that one saved and that one killed? Why? But we do know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And then thereafter the judgment. So we're concentrating this morning on death, but at the same time, after death, which very few people would even consider looking into. Death is unpredictable. Death is unavoidable. That being said, that it's unpredictable and unavoidable, surely we should be prepared for it. It's the least thing we prepare for. We prepare for vacations. It's exciting. That's short term. But we never kind of prepare for death. And if I can even encourage you this morning, if you don't have a will, please have a will. It prevents a lot of headaches. That's preparation. Have a will. Do it. No, I'm too young. Forget it. How old are you going to be before you die? Too young? Too old? We don't know. So let's prepare, and in the preparation process, get a will, guys. It is unpredictable, it is unavoidable, it is certain. Knowing that, we must ask ourselves then the question, if death is unpredictable, if death is unavoidable, what happens after death? What happens? Now, we can listen to some folks out there and we can look at some educated individuals. But I must say, the most reliable source on this topic as to after death is the Bible. There is no more sources or a source that's more reliable than the Bible as to what happens at death and after death. So we have people that say it's annihilation. When you die, It's annihilation. You're gone. It's over. There's nothing after death. What a waste of life. God never designed the human being that way. God designed us differently. He designed us eternal. 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 If Adam and Eve never sinned where death originated for mankind, they would never have died. But we see from the word of God that death is simply defined as the termination of life on earth. But death is spoken of in various ways in the Bible. The dust shall return to earth, take away their breath, and they die. And so we've come to the conclusion from the scriptures presented to us that death originated in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And God said, if you eat of that fruit, you will die. And of course, you know the story. Satan speaks to Eve. Is that what he really said? And they went into a conversation. Eve decided to eat of the fruit and pass it on to her husband. It's the dissolution of our earthly house or tabernacle. And we looked at that last week, that the Bible refers to this as a tabernacle or a tent, referring to it as short term. This is short term. So if this is short term, what is long term? And then we've also looked at last week and the week before that this body of ours is made up of a spirit, soul, and body, which is called the trichotomy theory. Or you can go to the dichotomy theory, where you can say the spirit and the soul is one. One spirit soul living in a body. So then if this body goes, what happens to the soul and spirit? The first thing, where did it come from? God breathed into man and it became a living soul. So we find it comes from God. So life comes from God. And we know that we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And now we have physical death. What happens at physical death? It's the separation of the inner man from the outer man. In other words, the spirit soul leaves. The body goes to the ground and the spirit soul leaves. So where does the spirit go to? So let me go into the spirit and body just for clarity's sake. So if the body dies, where does the spirit go to? Well, it depends where you stand in Christ. And once again, people can say a lot of things, but we've got to go to the Word of God, which is the most reliable source. So we have physical death, the separation of the inner man from the body. We have spiritual death, which is separation from God. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they died spiritually immediately. But only years later did their body die. So we find, yes, an interesting scripture concerning eternal death. What is eternal death? So we have physical death, we have spiritual death, we have eternal death, an eternal separation from God because man chooses to remain separated from God in sin. That's eternal separation, referring to the spirit, eternally separated from God because they never wanted to serve God on their life or in their life on earth. So now we have two lots of people. We have people that want to serve God or serves God. And we have people that decide, no, they don't want to serve God. They're not interested in God. So they are going to two separate places. So does God send somebody to hell? No. No. We have a choice. So after the service this morning, the presentation or the request will be, where do you stand pertaining the future? Because our future is determined now. Yeah. In this body. I determine now where I'm going to spend eternity. You will determine where you're going to spend eternity by the decision you make. So we find that people have shared all kinds of doctrines with us that when you die, your soul is just sleeping. Or when you die, you go to purgatory and people can intercede for you. I want you to know this morning, if you've heard those kind of things, you have been misled. It's not biblical. And I will present the biblical format to you. The eternal death is eternal separation from God because man chose to remain separated from God in sin. And this is called the second death or second separation from God. So death in Scripture is separation from the spirit and the body. The moment you die, listen carefully, the moment you die, you will know where you are. Think about that. Now I can see already, guys, I didn't come to this place to learn about death today. Informed people are contented people. We're dealing with a subject that nobody likes speaking about. But at the same time, it's actually exciting for the child of God. The moment you die, you will know where you are. Heaven or hell? I don't believe in either of them. There's a rude awakening. All people go to heaven. There's a rude awakening. Nobody will go to hell. There's a rude awakening. Look at the slide, please. There's the tombstone. There's the grave. On the left-hand side is paradise. On the right-hand side is hell. On the left-hand side is Tartarus, where there are angels at the moment that have rebelled against God. There's an abyss that's also playing a future part. And there's the lake of fire called Gehenna. Those are factuals. They are in the Word of God, and we'll look at them briefly this morning. Between paradise and hell, you notice the arrow, there's a gulf, a huge gulf. So when we look at the Word of God, we've got to first determine, do I believe what the Bible says? Yes, I believe what the Bible says. Now that I believe what the Bible says, am I prepared to act upon what the Bible says? Because we can know all these things but not make a decision. When it comes to paradise, we'll look at a scripture, Luke 23:43, in paradise. Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me where? So do you think in Jesus' mind, paradise was real? Or would you say that, yes, there is a place called paradise, I was just not aware of it? So, Nicole, go back to that diagram, please, again. Do you see paradise? So you die, there's a tombstone, but your body is in the grave. But your spirit is not in the grave. Where's your spirit? In either place. So your body is in the grave, but your spirit is somewhere else. And we saw it's either going to be in paradise or it's going to be in hell. One of the two. When I die, when you die. So Luke 23:43, paradise. Look at Luke 16:22-23. One day the beggar died. And notice the terminology and explanation here. Look at the process. One day a beggar died and the angels carried him to be with Abraham. Where was Abraham? In paradise. Also called Abraham's bosom. So the angels carried this place. Doesn't this sound like science fiction to you? This is Hollywood stuff, right? An angel comes and carries somebody, but it's not the body. So if I ask to you this morning, the beggar died and the angels carried him, what part did they carry? His body or his spirit? Oh, why? Where's the body? In the grave. So the angels carried him to be with Abraham. But notice the contrast. The rich man, what happened to him? And what's missing? What's missing? Nobody cared. The angels didn't do anything about it. The rich man also died, was buried. So he went to the grave. And he went to hell. So what happens if I say I don't believe in it? I just don't believe it. It's still there. You guys are too sharp. It's still there. We can deny these things, but I plead with you, do not deny it, because there's some decisions that need to be made this morning. The rich man died, was buried, he went to hell. And now we find something very different and very difficult to comprehend, because this place, we don't know what it's like, but only what the Bible tells us, where he was, now notice this, where he was what? Are you serious? He doesn't have a body. Where's his body? In the grave. Where's his soul? But he's being constantly tortured. So I thought this is the thing that feels pain. Apparently not. But notice something else. He looked up. How is it possible for a person that hasn't got a body to look up? His body's in the grave. So that means the body is there just to accommodate the real person. As he looked up in the distance, he saw who? Two people. Nicole, diagram again, please. I'm making her work this morning, I tell you. You see the difference? Paradise? Who's in paradise? The beggar, Abraham. Who's in hell? The rich man. What did he see? I don't know if this thing's going to work. Let's try it. Nicole, have mercy. Ah, look at that. This is a smart guy, I tell you. Right? I got a toy. I need to give this to our president, right? He's looking from there. And he sees this. Look at the scriptures again. There we go. Where he was constantly tortured. Next one. As he looked up in the distance, he saw Abraham and Lazarus. You got the picture? Paradise? Hell. We've done two of them. Look at the third one. Matthew 25, 41, 46. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Who's there? Prepared for the devil and his angels. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Two different places again. We can go through life living as if we're going to live forever. We can go through life not thinking of these things. But it's going to be unfair for me not to educate anybody pertaining to this and say, I wish he would have told me. Now I've told you. And now you and I have to make a quality decision as to where we're going to go. The question we approached and tried to answer last week and touch on it this week, what state, what condition am I in when I die? What state am I in? What condition am I in? In other words, my body is in the grave. My spirit is either in paradise, and that paradise is no longer there, or it's in hell. But what is my condition like? Am I awake? Can I speak? Can I feel? Obviously so. Because remember, the rich man was communicating. The rich man was seeing, although his body was in the grave. So the condition of that individual is consciousness, is awake, not soul sleep, not unconscious of anything else, total extinction. Or is there a second chance for the wicked? There's no second chance whatsoever. Now we're going to go to a lengthy portion of scripture. And two of them are lengthy portions. The one I'm doing now and then another one, because we're only concentrating on the word of God. Luke 16:19-31. Concerning the two individuals, Jesus said. So if Jesus said it, was he hallucinating or is he speaking the truth? There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. Anything wrong with that? Nope. At his gate lay a poor man, which means he knew that person, he was familiar with that individual, and that name is Lazarus, who was covered in sores. Terrible sight. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he did what? He saw. Remember now, consciousness. They were awake. He was awake. He was able to communicate. He was able to feel. The spirit could feel without the body. He saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Where's the body now?" In the grave. But yet he shouted. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham." So that refers to me, or means to me, he must have been a Jew. Because a non-Jew can't call him Father Abraham. Only a Jew can call him Father Abraham. "Father Abraham, have some pity." Why? You had all the wealth. You had everything on planet Earth. Isn't it amazing how quick things can disappear? You can have everything, and in a moment you got nothing. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity." And now there's a request. And this is so interesting for you and for me. The request that he has, the answer Father Abraham gives him, and then you and I look at our situation and say, "You know what? I've got to listen to the word of God." "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus." Remember the diagram? Paradise, hell, in between, gulf. "Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger." Isn't this amazing? This rich man cared two ticks about Lazarus on planet Earth. He was getting scraps. That's all he was getting. The king wasn't, or the rich man wasn't, interested in the well-being of Lazarus. Look how ironic. All of a sudden, Lazarus becomes prominent. Please. Isn't it amazing the rich man is begging from a Lazarus? And Lazarus was the beggar? Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water. Proves the point now. There's no Coca-Cola. Dip the tip of his finger into water. In water. Now, there's another interesting thing. There's water there? There's water in paradise, but there's not water in hell? Let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish. How do you go from such prominence to a beggar? By the decisions you make. I'm in anguish in these flames. Abraham responds. But Abraham said to him, son, once again, referring, he must have been a Jew. Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had what? Everything without Christ is nothing. Nothing. You can have nothing and have Christ, and you got everything. Everything without Christ, you got nothing. So at what age am I going to die? I don't know, but prepare for it. And how do I prepare for it? We'll see. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here. He is here being what? I love this. How many of you would love to be comforted or in anguish? I don't want to be in anguish. And you are in anguish. And now you see the gulf. And besides, there is a great chasm, a gulf separating us. No one can cross over. No one. So when is the decision made? Before or after death? Can't you change course after death? Can't we just jump across? Get a run jump? Depends how wide the gulf is. And besides, there is a great chasm, gulf separating us. No one can cross over to you from here. And no one can cross over to us from there. 27. What do we got? Another one? Nope. There we go. You see that again, guys? Grave, paradise, gulf, hell, consciousness, awake, feeling, hearing, speaking, experiencing total different stuff. And now, I'm hoping this black and white from Clarice Larkin's slides will be able to clarify some things. Look at another slide concerning paradise. For those of you close by, look at the screens. The further you can, at the back, look at the back screen. Let me point that out to you. Paradise, hell. This is the underworld, all right? Remember you saw earlier on, there's Tartarus, there's the abyss, there's the gulf, and the lake of fire. Is this guy stuck? Uh-oh. Nicole, you're going to work with me. I'm moving ahead with stuff. There's the third heaven. Second heaven. First heaven. But notice the grave. There's the grave. When Jesus died, he went there. Remember the guy on the cross? Jesus said to him what? Today? You'll be in paradise. Man, I like this thing. It actually. When Jesus went to the grave, or let's say to paradise, that's better terminology, He took everybody that was there when he rose from the dead and took them where? Look. The third heaven. He took paradise. So if Jesus took all that was there to there, that's heaven. So where's paradise now? Would you agree with me that paradise, where it was originally, is empty? Yeah. But what do you notice? If that is empty, that is still occupied. Right? Hell is still occupied. So when we die, remember what I said earlier on. When we die, you will know exactly where you are. And there's only two places. Where are they? That one or that one? Who determines to which place I go? Is it God? Inny, meeny, miny, mo, I want Dennis to go. Or do I make that decision? Now the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then what? Face the judgment. Bear the consequences. Christians are going to have this judgment over here. That's where Christians are going to be judged. They are going to be judged when Christ calls the Christians up, either through the rapture or at the judgment seat of Christ. Where are the hell people going to be judged? The great white throne judgment. So now you've got a clear picture in your mind, and thanks to Clarence Larkin, because we start with Eden, we go all the way through until the renovations of the heavens and the earth. Remember now, we spoke about paradise, we spoke about hell, we spoke about the gulf and the lake of fire or Gehenna. And that is the final separation from those that did not know Christ, where they will go to. 1 Corinthians 15:35 all the way to 58. Read carefully, observe, follow me, get excited. And now we have a synopsis, an overview of what death is. And our body is all about. All from the Bible. The most reliable source that you can have. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? Good question. Good question. It's beyond the understanding of the human being. It's got to be God that can only answer these questions. And he says, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies? So what's the conclusion we draw this morning? Is this the permanent body or is there another body? Notice what it says. What kind of bodies will they have? Guys, this is a good question. Well, I thought so. Instead, I hear a reply. What a foolish question. Whoa, I thought that was a darn good question. Now you're telling me it's a foolish question? When you put a seed into the ground, look what happens. It doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. Ah, so now we see death has got to come in because there's got to be something that comes out of it. And what you put into or put in the ground is not the plant that you will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. 38. Then God, oh, yay, yay. Then God does what? So who gives bodies? Don't you think this is a good body? He made a good body, yeah. You're a good body. This body is amazing what it does. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. Did Adam and Eve choose what they wanted to have? They got stuck whatever God gave them. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. 39, similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for what? For humans. Another for animals. Another for birds. and another for fish. So where's the most reliable source to turn to if you want to learn about death and bodies? The Bible. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. Isn't it amazing? Not one star is the same. You looked up at night, you said, "Wow, they're all different." It is the same way with the resurrection. Oh, now he gives us the introduction. And now he says in 42, it's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so what do we conclude from this? When you die, is it over or is there a resurrection? You say a resurrection? Who says that? You believe that stuff? You believe? I'm only in my 20s. I'm not going to die young. Oh, yeah? It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground. Oh, gosh. When we die. Thank you. So I'm going to get planted. Great. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised. Look at this. To do what? So where are you going to live forever? Where am I going to live forever? Depends on your decision you make. Right? But they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. Notice that. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural, these natural bodies. Notice that. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be what? What does that look like? Turn to somebody and say to them, if you think this is great, you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah? You think this is great? You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. That's what he says. They are buried as natural bodies or human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. Because each body is designed for its environment. This body for this environment. The other body for the next environment. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. How did he become that way? God breathed into his nostrils. But the last Adam, not the second Adam, the last Adam. Who's the last Adam? Jesus Christ. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first, oh, this is beautiful, guys. What comes first is the what? Is the natural body. Then the spirit. So what are you waiting for? The spiritual body. So that's why, don't look at this as morbid. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth. Remember? We can turn to each other and say, I'm just dust. Adam, the first man, was from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man. We're earthly. And then there's aliens, or whoever they are. And the heavenly people are like the heaven. Do you see the contrast? Earthly, heavenly. After Adam, the first, after Adam from heaven. Just as we are now like the earthly man. Oh, there we go, guys. Now it gets even more exciting. Just as we are now like the earthly man. What does this earthly man look like? Well, just look at each other. How does this earthly man compare to the spiritual man or the heavenly man? This earthly man encounters much difficulties. This earthly man knows what arthritis is. This earthly man knows shortcomings. This earthly man knows what it is to get hungry and stress. Does the heavenly man know that? Nope. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot what? Why not? It wasn't designed for that. And it's contaminated. Contaminated with sin. That's why, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's contaminated. Everybody's contaminated. But through Jesus Christ, we get cleansed and purified. These bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal a what? How do you tell a secret? Can I tell you a secret? Keep the secret between us, okay? But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. It wasn't revealed before. I'm going to reveal it to you now, the secret. Yes, tell me quickly. We will not all die. Oh, give me a break. How much chocolate have you been eating, my mate? We will not all die. Really? What do you mean? But we will all be transformed. Now he's talking about the rapture. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised. What's going to be raised? The body. The bodies. To live forever. And we, notice it's we. Who's the we? Born again Christians. People that are followers of God. In other words, with Lazarus. And we who are living will also be transformed. Wow! For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Doesn't that sound great? Are you a bit more excited now than when we started? For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. And he goes, our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Wow. Your future and my future is getting better and better and better. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never... Oh, guys, look at this. When we have been transformed, these bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. So it's in the future, it's going to happen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? There is nothing. I've got an eternal body that looks like that of Christ that is prepared for me. Whoa, man. You know, I'm so excited we can take an offering right now. Let's do an offering. No, come on. But thank God he gives us victory over sin. Look at this. Oh. I ran ahead. For sin is the sting that results in death. Where was that sting? Garden of Eden. The sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he encourages the Christians, you, me. If you're not a Christian, I want you, please, to give your life to Jesus. I don't want you to go there. I want you to go here. I want you to go to paradise. I want you to be in the presence of God. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be what? Why? Your faith is in Christ alone. Be strong. Be immovable. And always work what? I
don't feel like doing it. Shut up and do it with enthusiasm. And always work enthusiastically for who? All our volunteers, I love them, man. They work here like busy bees. Early hours of the morning, some of them, others late. They just work, I mean, 60, 70, I don't know, and it's growing. But our volunteers are definitely always enthusiastically. I don't know how you can be enthusiastically in vacuuming the carpet, but they're enthusiastic. I don't know how you can be enthusiastic cleaning a toilet, but they do it. They sing, "This is the day the Lord has made. The toilet has to be cleaned. This is the day the Lord has made. The carpets have to be vacuumed." So we find our guys are in. I just make that up. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is what? Ever useless. I'm going to try and show you three slides. I hope you can see it. There's where the angels, the fallen angels are. There's paradise, there's the gulf, there's hell, there's the lake of fire. At Jesus, we find paradise has gone up to the top over there. Hell is still full of people, and they are waiting for a resurrection. Look at the arrow, they're waiting for the resurrection. Wicked souls are going up to the great white throne judgment. Once they are at the great white throne judgment, the Bible says the books are opened. And before we get to the books that are opened, I also want you to notice that we're going to have a judgment here for the Christian, where the righteous people will be judged according to their works, and we will receive crowns. But right after the 1,000 years of peace, because we have the 7 years of tribulation, there's the 1,000 years of peace. After the 1,000 years of peace, there's going to be a resurrection. And I want you to notice that at that great white throne judgment, the books are opened. And all of a sudden, you're going to go, not you, the people are going to go. The Bible says, if your name is not found in the Lamb's book of life, it's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, which was designed for who? The devil and his angels. So who's going to be thrown in there? Hell, or the abode of souls of the wicked. I try to cut this in half to make it a bit bigger in the next slide, and that is the first half of the slide. There's the flood, there's the angels that have sinned, there's the grave, yes, paradise. Paradise is over there. And then we find Jesus, the penitent thief, in paradise. Jesus rises with the righteous souls to the top. The gulf, the right-hand side. I think the next slide will just show you the right-hand side of where the gulf is and hell itself. The wicked souls are going up here to be judged at the great white throne judgment. If their name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. And the Bible calls that the second death. Look at one more slide again. There's the top slide. What have we learned over these 3 weeks? Death is inevitable. Death is you cannot avoid it. Unavoidable. Death comes at any age, but death is not the last thing. There is life after death. There are two places, paradise, now the presence of God, or hell. How do I get into paradise? How? The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those that do not call upon the Lord, name on the Lord, and do not live a life that's glorifying to God will go to the hell, will go to the lake of fire. And now we've got to be very careful. How do we know who's in heaven and how do we know who's in hell? We don't.
And it's not you, your prerogative, or my prerogative to make the call. Because we don't know the heart of man. But all I know, the Bible says, call upon me and I will hear you. The Bible does say, Jesus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible also says, if your name is not found written in the Lamb's book of God, the Lamb, depart from me, I do not know you. So we find there are distinct places, but those places will be determined by you where you want to go. You will either go to this one or you will go to that one by the decision you make. And the decision is accepting Christ as your Savior, following Him, worshiping Him, being faithful to Him, reading the Word of God, growing with all your mistakes, with all our faults, with all our shortcomings. We want to follow Jesus Christ and adhere to the principles in the Bible. Then we will find ourselves in His presence when we die. But please, can I ask you a favor? Don't try and be the judge. Don't be the judge. I cannot tell. We are quick to say certain people have gone to hell. How do you know that? How do you know that? Oh, by their fruits. But you don't know the intent. You don't know what happened on their deathbed. There's too many unknowns. I think the best solution for all of us is to make sure I know where I am going as an individual, not where others are going. I will present the gospel to you, to everybody I come in contact with. Present the gospel. And then it's up to that individual to decide what they want to do with the information. But all I know, the future for the child of God is just fantastic. He's coming back for me again. If He doesn't take me in the rapture, I will die and I'll be with Him. Yes. But I do know one day I will see Him face to face because He's my Savior. Can we pray together? Father, I thank You for